Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 520. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruit of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also
with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Jose. Peace be with you, Ladder. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Ryan. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day, praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's first lesson is from 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel!" Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel!" And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he said told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read responsively Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 7, and 13 to 18. Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me.
Down.
Not rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You encompass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. The knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. My days were fashioned before you. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, it would be more in number than sins. To count them all, my lifespan would need more. Today's second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be as one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
John 1, starting with verse 43. There'll be some comments about that. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get it to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Josie? Yeah.
All the kids can come on down. Up? Down? What do we call them? You two? Come on over. No one? There we go. I got some joiners. Come on over. Hey, Amelia. That's it? This is it? Oh, my gracious. Well, good morning.
Hi.
You
I
are?
Amelia.
Yeah, I know you're Amelia and Zoe, and this is Sophia. And we're going to talk about hearing and listening. Is there a difference? Hearing and listening. Do you think there's a difference? No, I don't know. Okay, so let's try this. What part of your body do you use to hear? With your ears. Sophie's got it. You hear with your ears. They pick up sounds and they put them in our head, right?
Wear your earrings.
I do have earrings. What part of our body?
My Minnie Mouse earrings hurt.
Oh, your Minnie Mouse earrings, they hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. So what part of our body do we use to listen? Oh, this is maybe a tricky question. You think our ears help. What part other than our ears do we listen with? Nope, don't touch that. I think we have to use our brains. Because listening means that we are understanding what we heard. Right? So let's try this. Let's talk about this. If you're sitting at home and you're playing a video game, do you play games? Do you play games?
Me too.
Or do you play with toys?
Yeah.
And what happens when your mom or your dad come in? And
they say,
totally lost me. That was it. Peekaboo. She's hiding in the altar and coming out and saying peekaboo for anyone who can't see. Okay, come on out. Come on out. So when you're playing toys and your mom comes out and she says, "Oh, Zoe and Amelia, come on, it's time to clean up toys." What do you do? What happens? What does Sophie do when her mom comes in and says, "Okay, time to clean up"?
Play.
Sophie keeps playing.
Yeah.
And I will have to fully agree. Her brothers are very much the same. What do you do, though? Well, Sophie heard her mom say clean up, and she chose to do something else, right? When we listen, we actually do what we're being asked, right? That's a way of listening. We know what we're going to do, and we do something, right? Well, there's a little boy in our story today. He was a little bit older than you guys, but not too much. He was a boy, and he was sleeping. And he heard a voice. And that voice was God. But he didn't listen to it. He only heard it. And so he ran off and he said, "What do you want?" to the guy in the other room. His name was Eli. And he was trying to sleep. And he said, "Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep, please. It's too early to be up." Right? But Samuel went back to sleep, and then he heard a noise again, and he went back to Eli, and he said, "What do you want?" And Eli said, "Oh, please go back to sleep. It wasn't me." And then finally, he said, Eli told him, "Oh, you need to listen, because when we're listening, we're going to understand." And he said, "I think if you listen, when you're listening, I think you're going to hear God speaking. But you've got to be concentrating and thinking about what you're hearing." Well, so Samuel went back to sleep for a little bit. And guess what? God called him again and he said, "Samuel." And this time Samuel was really using his thinker. He was using his brain and he said, "Oh, I know this time it's God." And so he listened really carefully this time. Sophie was here last week. You were here last week when we had our telephone game. We told something into each other's ears, didn't we? Were you only hearing those words, or did you have to listen really carefully? We had to listen really carefully so that we made sure we were passing on the right information. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to just hear him and then go do something else. He wants us to listen really carefully and then pass on his message. You think we can go off and do that, just that? Listening really carefully? You're doing what? Amelia can spin. All right, let's spin all the way back to our seats. Thanks for coming up.
Lord God, for all that you've done, that you're doing, and that you're going to do, praise your name and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Levi and Samuel, one of the great calls of all time. That's what we're talking about this morning. Calls. The gospel lesson that those would have us do, we've read. I want to go back a few verses before John 45 and go to 35. Because I think John 1:35 tells us where we're at. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this. They followed Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following, and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying. And they said, well, they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Now, this is where the gospel that we read. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom was Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under a fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now that's the gospel. Jesus is on a recruiting trip. Matthew's got a part of this as well. Love this part. Matthew 4:18 starts it. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon, now he's already seen Simon. You got to remember that. He's already met him. Simon is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. Key words, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Immediately. Immediately. They left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These are thy words, Lord. Truly words. Your words, in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't plan this to be an athletic sermon, but it turns out to be one. It's a recruiting trip for Jesus. Boy, I like that. Recruit. Get on his team. The greatest recruiting trip story I know, and I don't know if anybody except Traxler might remember this, but his name was Bronco Nagurski. The other guy's name was Bernie Bierman. Bierman's the coach at the University of Minnesota. He's on a recruiting trip up northern Minnesota. He doesn't know Bronco Nagurski, never heard of him. But he knows where International Falls is, and he knows Butch Larson. So he's going up north, and he gets lost. And in the 40s, you probably could do that. Even in the 50s, some of the roads in northern Minnesota. You know where Cook is, yeah. I don't think he went beyond Cook. But anyhow. Bierman, driving along, gets lost and sees this person in a field plowing. Bierman stops his car, gets out, goes over and asks the guy, hey, which way to International Falls? This man picks up the plow that he's using. He picks it up and points that way. Bierman goes back to his car, realizing that this is just a kid. How old? He doesn't know, but he takes out an admission slip and a scholarship for him at the same time and heads back to the kid. Finds out who he is, where he's from, and how old he is. And Bronco Nagurski became a gopher that day. Nagurski is all over the map as far as an athlete at the University of Minnesota. The Chicago Bears and the World Wrestling Association. Bronco Nagurski, his son still owns the gas station up at International Falls. Bronco went to the Lord a few years ago. One of my favorite stories of recruiting. Not bad recruiting, though, for Jesus. Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, fishermen. And they ask, where are you staying? And he says, follow me, and I'll show you. My ancestors were Norwegians. They were fishermen. They were Norwegians. And they got the word in the 1800s, follow us, come on over. There had been some real adventurous folks that had come to the north shore of Lake Superior. They were fishermen. And this was Lake Superior. This was no fjord. This was it. And they said, come. Following family to fish on the North Shore. That's why we call it the Norwegian Riviera. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, he says. God's call to man. Direct call. Nothing short of it. Follow me. Commit to God, the call. I love the story of John Erickson, the former coach of the University of Wisconsin, the boss of the Bucks. John, did you get a call? He said, yeah, I got a call from Tom Landry to become the president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Zacchaeus got a call too from Jesus. Come down, I'm going to your house today. I think Jesus' call is to reach, teach, and preach. Reach out to people. Teach people. And let them go. Preach it. This is his team. His disciples, if you will. A, B, and the four J's. Two P's, two T's. That's between an M for Matthew. Then you've got the 12 disciples. This is his team. Reach out to man. Follow me. Teach him. Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you staying? When Carrie was overseas, she was in Israel. And then she says, it's kind of cool over there at night. Like cold. You build fires. Fireside chats. She told me this when we had some fireside chats in the back of our 1516 Wilson Avenue house, the fire pit. Call it the prayer pit. Teach them. Where are you staying? I got to wonder what those guys were talking about at their fireside chats. Fireside chats. I mean, what happened today? To feed 5,000? Raise Lazarus? Woman at the well? Capernaum? The Capernaum caper has got to be one of my favorites, where these four kids cut a hole in the cement because they can't get through to the house, and they've got a buddy that needs healing. They go up on the roof, cut the hole, go down, drop the kid in, and Jesus heals him. He says, your faith has made you well. But then these apostles, these disciples say, why can't we heal? Why can't we heal? We got to get healed. Lessons and learning and listening. Thank you, Joseph. Jesus' gospel is John's gospel. And John says that if all of the teachings of Jesus were written down, the world couldn't contain all the books for him. So we can take what this book says and accept it as gospel. Listen. Follow me. And play them. Preach, teach, and reach. And they sent them out two by two. Philip and Enoch. Peter goes to serve his mother. Jesus also taught about Satan. He says it's not an easy ride. One and done. Satan is recruiting his team too. He wants your souls. He can't have the souls once you put them in the hands of Jesus. But he wants your testimony, and he can have it if you're going to give it to him. So we're to accept that call. Live by it. Live by the gospel that Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. One piece of scripture that is there, I've heard it from a number of preachers. I don't like it, but it's true. Because you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That is one way that we can rescind this call of Jesus. When a person commits to a school for scholarship, he can decommit. We see it all the time in our conference. Bless that WIAC. They receive decommitted athletes from Division I and II. Menominee High School has been blessed so often with good, solid athletes that commit and keep the commitment. My favorite is a kid named Stocky, who committed to Mankato as a quarterback. The coach, a good coach, not a friend, but an acquaintance of mine and of Stocky's, recruited a kid from Mississippi to be the quarterback. Stocky kept the commitment that he made to Mankato. Could have gone other places and I'm sure played a lot of football. But he held the course, and that's what Jesus asks us to do. Commit and keep it. Those that decommit. The gospel says, in words that I might put in, they didn't have a contract. They only hear to give and not to take back. Accept the call. The reading that Nick gave of Samuel three times. My own call was from a guy named Belgum, a Bible department head at Luther College. Told me in no uncertain terms that I didn't have the guts to be a preacher. But be a minister and be a good one. Belgum had a roommate when he was at Luther named John Yelly. In the 4 years that I spent at Luther, Belgum was always, he was a giant in the Bible department, living that call. And he taught us about call. When I was a senior, Belgium gave me the job that I was looking for through his roommate, John Yelly. And Yelly gave me a pretty good job. But so did John Kennedy, who gave us choice, not chance, in the 60s to become service people. It was through Belgium to Yelly to Kennedy to choice, not chance, that I wound up in Kansas City, the home of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It has been a great part of my life for many, many years. Had any part of that been rejected, I don't know where God would have taken me or what would have done, but I look at it as rejected, and you'll live to regret it. And then I look at the call of Christ. Live it, or you'll live to regret it. It's a no-cut contract. Jesus says, follow me. What an offer. If you haven't yet, I ask, where are you staying? May you be strengthened with the power of power according to his glorious might. And do it with full endurance and patience. With joy. The call. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's give thanks to the Lord with our offering. Thank you. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church throughout the world and for all called to its various ministries, that the Holy Spirit invite us and others to come and see, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the well-being of creation, for plants that provide nourishment, for animals that tend their young, that your goodness will be revealed through all creation, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the nations and all in authority, for advocates, for those who work for racial justice, and for our community, that all people may thrive together in harmony and order, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For all who are oppressed, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially Maxine, Dave, Kathy, Lexan, Phyllis, Gordon, Carolyn, Lavera, Maxine, Lila, Ray, Chikandi, Sandy, Dale, Sean, Lavone, Libby, Sam, the family of Luther Johnson, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Abusa Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes, for caregivers and families, for those who grieve and cannot sleep, that comfort will come to those in any distress. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For travelers and those unable to attend worship today, for members of our community celebrating special events, and for those who request prayers, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for those who followed Christ and now rest from their labors, especially Martin Luther King Jr., commemorated this week, that their witness provide a model of prophetic leadership and tireless justice. Let us pray.
Merciful
God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We have time for announcements. Are there any announcements anyone would like to share? There's quite a list in your bulletin. I want to call attention to the loss of Luther Johnson, who passed away this week. And note that the memorial service will be down in Dodgeville. Also, we have...
next Sunday service time?
Next Sunday, worship will be at 10 instead of 9, to be followed by a brunch?
Dinner.
Dinner following worship next week. 10 o'clock worship to be the installation service for Pastor Randy Scow Anderson. Also, I note there's boxes of your contribution statements from last year to be picked up in the narthex. I know the office would appreciate that if you take the time to pick them up while you're here. It looks like we still need another delegate for the Luther Park annual meeting on January 27th. Is that right? And also, I noted that a couple of music opportunities here. It looks like they're at the same time. The Luther College Symphony Orchestra is going to be at Grace Lutheran in Eau Claire on the 6th of February, and the Gustavus Adolphus Choir is also going to be at Our Savior's here in town. Any other announcements? Okay. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.